for a
this
crane
conference
pot.
Will.
And a lot of the reasons is I've been to party plans. I've been to Pampered Chef. You know, you have friends that invite you to Pampered Chef and all the, I mean, there was a zillion in one of them, skincare parties, all that kind of stuff all the time. I've never really done a, quote-unquote, a party plan myself. I know we have some huge people in Manitech, Joyce Oliveto, and some of the other ones that have built their organizations around party plan concepts. So I really immerse myself into the concept, and I'm starting to feel some real strong vibes towards what I want to do with it. So I'll share that with you as we go through the call today. But I want you to understand that even if you have an adverse reaction to the idea of party plan, especially men, I think men sometimes right away, they go, oh, this isn't for me. And I'm going to say, no. Think about it. Open yourself up to something new and different and doing things new and differently. And why do I ask you to first do that? Because, you know, it's that famous definition of insanity. If we keep doing everything the way we've always done it before and expect different results, that's called insanity, right? It's a good definition of insanity. That's not going to happen. So we need to do things differently. We have to think outside the box. We have to change the way we're operating effectively. And, I mean, that's what this Give for Real is giving us, 101 different ways of approaching people, and I love that. And I mean, it's just a constant endeavor to be better, to do something different, something better that's going to make a difference for us. And these party plans, to me, are really an invaluable approach to doing the business because they can be looked at from many different angles. And so let's talk about what party plan, because I don't want you to think of party plan as bows and you know, hats and a, you know, it's sometimes we have these pictures of what a party plan is, or it's a lot of frou-frou stuff because, see, that's probably what turned me off to party plan historically because I hate frou-frou, you know. And when I grew up as a little girl, my mom kept trying to buy me dolls, and I'd go in the basement and I'd build furniture with my hammer and saws and nails. I didn't want anything to do with petticoats and pink, and that was just not where I was at, okay? And I've never gone down that path, you know. In fact, I have people that love to dress me because I hate to do all that stuff. Yeah, Lydia calls me the Barbie doll. My husband buys me clothes. I mean, I just, it's like it's never been my ilk. So party plans to me were a little bit of that frou-frou in, but the reality is they don't have to be frou-frou, so don't even qualify or quantify them in such. They're something that are very effective in terms of building your business. So if you haven't done it in the past, I'm going to suggest to you kick off. Maybe today's the day that you get the new idea and you start working in this area and doing something differently. And they're not limited to specific products. We're going to talk about that today as well. So let's first talk about why is a demonstration so powerful. In other words, when you have a party plan and you have people over and you do demonstrations with the products, why is it so powerful? In fact, a lot of people in network marketing will tell you that there's nothing really much more powerful in our industry than a party plan. And some of the reasons for that is that, first of all, you get an opportunity firsthand to see the products work right in front of you, whether it's skincare or it's cooking utensils or whatever it is. For us, it could be, you know, we have skincare, we have the Osaline, we won't really see a lot of things that skincare is probably the only one that we see that quote unquote works, if you want to use the word works immediately, because people can feel a difference, sense a difference, they get a flavor for the products right off the bat. But that can apply to any of our products. But the beauty of it that it works, because a lot of times people's number one concern when they buy products is, will it work? Well, the additional thing we have, if you want to, you say, well, Mary Jo, what about in nutritional supplements? You know, they can't see that it works because, you know, you don't feel different in 5 seconds, so even if you take it. But taste testing the products is very important, that people can see that that's what they taste like and their health and all the background. Those things are absolutely a must. And the neat thing that we have to add, this is something I just thought of that you can add to yours, because they may not see that it specifically works, but when we add that 6-month money-back guarantee to what we do, wow, then that takes the pressure off, does it work for me? Because now it's more of, let me try it, see what it does for me, and I can make an assessment down the road because I'm really not at risk. So neat thing to add in a party plan for you guys if you're going to do just nutritional supplements, that's what you have to offer. But do you understand that does it work is one of the first things that people are questioning when they're about to buy something, and that's one of the questions we need to help answer, and party plans do that in a significant way. They also allow people to touch and feel the products, and when people start touching and feeling products, they actually feel a sense of ownership of them. They get to examine them. They get to look at them. They really get a flavor for what they're talking about. They get there's more interaction. And that's a very healthy thing that helps people feel more comfortable with ownership. The other thing that it does, a party plan, and when you have people over and you're all working with the products and they're, you know, taking them or testing them or using them or reading the boxes or passing around the products, is the neat thing is they can see how easy it is. Like, you know, I use those optimal support packets a lot these days in meetings and things like that because they're so simple. People want to keep it simple. They look at, you know, if you put out all of Manitech's products and they think they have to unscrew the top of those every single day, twice a day, they're going to, know they're going to get carpal tunnel. They don't have to guess. They'll know it. So you want to make sure that you make it something that's really simple. Don't get really complicated about what you're doing in the party. Keep it very simple because that's a second major consideration when people buy. They want to see how easy it is. So the easier, the better for the people. So that's another reason. So you look at those. Number one, they can see the products work. They get an intimate relationship with the products, see that they work when it's skincare and things like that. Number two, they can see how easy it is, how the simplicity of what the products are to take the products, how simple it is to take the products on a daily basis for everybody. And three, that we talked about, the sense of ownership, that you create a sense of ownership. And you can see this as a marketing strategy that companies like Borders and Barnes & Noble, many of the bookstores use. That's why they have a little pocket place where you can sit down and read with the books. You get to start getting a flavor for the books, and of course, that's what entices people to buy. So that's why they introduced this in bookstores years ago, because that was a great marketing tool for them. They're smart. They're smart in marketing, and we want to be smart as well when we're marketing our products. So that's why demonstrations are so powerful. That's what makes party programs so powerful, because of those unique characteristics that you can't get on meeting somebody at some TGI Fridays to meet it for a one-on-one meeting. You can't accomplish the same result as you do in a party. Okay? So very, very important. Those are critical concepts behind helping people make a final decision that you need to be building into your program so that you help people get more yeses than you do get no's. The second concept around party plans that are critical, so first of all, you have the demonstration that gives you three very, very important results. The second one is how social proof works in home parties. And this is an element that has more to do with our psychology, the psychology of the human race. Social proof is basically an element of persuasion that creates social pressure to conform to what others are doing. What does that mean? That means when you're in a party program and somebody goes, oh my gosh, this is great stuff, how do I sign up, how do I get involved, everybody in the room is going to feel pressure to do the same thing. It's human nature. It's just the way social proof works. And we can look at that as kind of like the mass mentality. We like to follow somebody else. I look at it as this way. I think there are a lot of people that they get on the fence. They don't want to make a decision. How many people have you had that really didn't want to make decisions? That's why our job becomes one of helping people to make a decision. We want to be supportive of them and help direct them and lead them into making a great decision about their lives, which means we want them on the products, whichever products, again, that we're promoting. But the idea that you have other people in the room that are getting excited about it and are trying to join up, it's like the cattle or, the sheep. Everybody follows other people. When they don't like to make decisions, they're going to allow other people to help make that decision for them. And that's what happens with this concept of social proof. People are going to start buying the products, so you're going to cause people to, want to buy them and use them themselves, and you're also going to have people that want to sign on board to be, effective business builders with you and join you in the business. And that's the fun part, because other people are going to say, well, I don't know much about the business, but can I sit back and just, listen to what you're telling this other person? And that happens a lot in these party-type situations. And then you can form a little group and just say, hey, people are interested in the business, people just want the products, enjoy yourself in here, let me go in the other room and just take some handful of you who are looking at this because you'd like to build some residual income. And then you can take them in the other room and just do a little short, brief, simple presentation about how the business works, how do they do it, and what's your best example of that? what you're doing yourself. So it's great to have that concept. And as soon as you take people out of the group, you're going to have a natural inclination that the rest of the group is going to want to follow them. So understand social psychology in these arenas so that you can take advantage of it to the best of your ability. I know that in my past in Manatech, I've heard stories that are just incredible about how people, you know, they'll give a huge meeting and they'll actually plant somebody in the audience. Now, that's up to you if you want to do it, but I've heard where people plant people in audience so that when they do meetings and stuff like that, they'll have somebody jump up in the back and say, you know what, I love this. This is perfect. It meets my heart, my passion. How do I get involved? And they'll come up to the front. And they actually get to give a testimony as they come towards the front. And that's a great thing to have because everybody else will look around and say, well, you know, I'm no different than that person. I have the same passion towards helping somebody and making a difference in the world as they do. They can start relating to somebody else at the party, and then they will end up following them in their direction. Another technique that they use in some of these meetings is they say, whoever gets started first, whichever you want to get started first, I'll put all the other people in this party underneath you. That tends to cause people to scamper up to the front of the room and get that application form and be the first one in. So that's another technique you can use. It can always irritate people too, so be careful with that technique. You want to make sure it's done softly and nicely and effectively so that you don't have anyone left out. Okay, so that's social proof. Very important aspect of doing this party planning and having a party work. And some of you can even remember, I don't know how many of you go to these party plans, whether it's like I said, Pampered Chef or whatever. I keep using that one because probably that's the one I've been to the most of, and that's a business that's basically almost entirely focused on party plans. Every time I've gone, I mean, I haven't left without buying something. There's always that impetus of buying, and that also comes from a similar psychology that if you agree to go to a party, if you agree that and you know what's going on at the party, like somebody's doing a presentation just like you want to do a health presentation and share some interesting new breakthrough technologies in health, that people are going there with an idea. They know what they're going there for. They know that you're going to be selling something. And a lot of people feel like if they go, if they say yes and they show up, and they know they're going to have things being sold there, that they feel obligated that they need to be buying. So there's an inherent obligation that they feel. In fact, I remember inviting some people to some events and parties, and they said, well, Mary Jo, I don't want to go because I know immediately I'll have an obligation to buy. And I'll go, you have no obligation to buy anything. And they said, no. By me accepting, I'm just coming. I feel like there's an obligation there to buy. And it was an intriguing psychology that I didn't even recognize, but some people told me that as I invited them to come to Manatech presentations as well. So I've seen that in action, people who are understanding it understand that they need to say no up front. They're also the people that say no because they know that whatever they get invited to, they always buy no matter what because they're so easy to convince to buy something. But the psychology is important to understand. When you invite people over, that's social proof and that kind of group mentality and psychology exists in party plans. It's what makes them so effective, people. It's terrific. Thirdly, let's talk about duplication. Our business is all about what? Duplicación, as we used to say in Mexico. I remember all of our presentations down there last year, and we use that word frequently, duplicación, because that's what it was. It was just to keep it simple, keep it easy. Because another question that people ask is, can I do this business? And so you want to be able to show to people and what you do that this is easy, this is simple, it's not overwhelming. So in order to do that, you want to have simple what? Simple home parties, something that really works well, that's very simple to do, and they become your training ground. If you do parties and you introduce people to doing parties, what's going to happen is by you doing them, you're actually setting a standard or training people in your organization on how to do that, how to do the business. And the more simple you make it, the better off it's going to be for everybody that you're bringing in there to train because they're going to say, wow, this is so easy, even I can do this. If somebody makes that comment, then you know you've won them over. The big, huge difference than getting out in front of a group of people and elaborating on the science of glycobiology for an hour and a half. They're going to shut people down. They may totally be sold on the product, so you've done a great job of selling them on getting started on the products. But you're not going to be selling too many people on doing the business because they feel like they have to go and get a science degree. It's sometimes that, you know, when I give talks, sometimes I sit back and I go, oh, here we go again, Mary Jo. Because people will come up to me and they'll say, where did you get your medical degree? And the minute somebody says that to me, I'll go, I always think to myself, I've overdone it again. Because what the problem is they're perceiving me as having to have gotten a medical degree in order to understand everything that I'm talking about, which means they won't be able to do the business. You never want to reflect that. Always reflect a generous approach that's kind and gentle and simple, and home parties are that way. Keep them simple. Don't get too elaborate and go too far out. Keep it simple so that people can really believe, hey, I can do this as well. Now, the next step would be, how do you build a home party business? Well, what's my famous saying? Failure to plan is a plan to fail. This applies to home party businesses as well. If you're going to have a home party business, you got to make sure you have a business plan that's structured. It's got dates. It's got timing. It's got a, you know, how invitation. It's got a backtrack of when you're going to start it, what kind of presentation you're going to have. All of that information needs to be available. It's not a hard thing to do. It just needs to be done. You don't do a party plan business without having multiple scheduled parties. When you talk to people in Pampered Chef, you know, and you'll call them up and say, well, you know what, I could potentially do one of those. Okay, let me check my calendar. They have all their plotted out. They know exactly how many. Most of them want to do at least two or three a week, if not more. They want to keep as busy as possible. So they're going to be doing these parties, party after party after party. And so they have a schedule of what that looks like, and they are consistent with it. They're not going to ever let go of schedule, and that's part of developing that business plan. For you in Manatech business, doing a business plan, you've got to decide what products you want to focus on. Can you do party plans on multiple businesses? Absolutely. You could do party plans on nutrition. You could choose skincare. You could choose the Osaline product. You could do party plans. This is the one that really excited me as I was doing this. Sports products was good as well, but give for real. And sometimes we go, well, that's not really a party plan. It's more of a meeting plan. Well, but you can call it a party plan because it's what you do around it. Invite people for a great night of fellowship over at your house and looking at a new, you know, mission, fellowship and mission. And you could even highlight it that way, a group of fellowship and mission at my house, and then do a presentation around Give for Real. Because it is a mission to stomp out global malnutrition. And you can have a little flyer that they get and a little handout trifold that you could make. So easy to make, you know, just to get a little graphic artist work there, and you've got a nice little flyer that you can hand out at these meetings. I mean, it's just a blast. I think having Give for Real party plan is a slam dunk. It's an absolute winner. It's about fellowship and mission. And if you can go out in your community and invite people to come over and fellowship, and let's talk about a greater mission than what you and I have. You're going to gather a lot of people in your home that way. And I know that kind of languaging supports a lot of people in Manatech, a lot of people like you on my call every Monday morning. Fellowship and mission are just two really incredible aspects of your life that you're committed and directed to participate in. Now you have an opportunity to use them as a marketing tool, that languaging, to get people to come to your home. So, but you have to pick a vehicle. And do you have to stick with one? No, you could do multiple ones, but it's easier if you stick with one or two so that you don't get too crazy out there, because right away you're going to have these people that think they can do it and then they stop doing it. And the second thing is what are you planning on doing? Are you trying to set up one arm that does only skincare? Or I should say one leg, wrong part of the human body, one leg that only does skincare and one leg that does Osaline and another leg that does Give for Real? Or do you want people to really understand all the gist of this? So you might want to isolate in one or two. I would definitely choose Give for Real as one of mine, because that would be my most critical one, and then layer another one on top of it. Probably for me it might be just nutrition. But a great way to start, kick off, to make your choices around what categories of the products are you going to be most excited about. And those are the ones you want to deal with. You want to, you know, if you're not excited about Osaline or weight loss, then you shouldn't do it, because it's going to come across in your presentation. People are going to be able to read through your kind of facade that you have to put on to be excited about it. So take on the products that really are meaningful for you. Can you do the sports product and fitness? Absolutely. You can just focus on Team Manitech. You can have basketballs around. You can, you know, do karate, have somebody come in for a karate demonstration. There's just a lot of fun things that you could have at these parties that allow people to participate in a great way and get a flavor for who you are, what you're all about, right? What Manitech's all about. So whatever the group is, whatever the category, you have plenty of ideas out there on how to make this happen. Secondly, you need to choose that. You need to choose a plan of how many you're going to have on a weekly basis. You also need to go after specific client bases. And everything I've read tells me that you've got to cover a lot of bases. You want to invite people with all walks of life. You don't want to just, you know, focus on one category of people. So one of the things you want to look for in people is, do they have a broad client base? Do they have a big sphere of influence? Just like any other time you're doing Manitech business, this party plan concept isn't any different. When you're target marketing, you're looking for people with great spheres of influence. Because those are the people who are going to be able to do what? They're going to be able to duplicate the party plan concept because they have so many people they know. Plus, they're going to be able to invite a lot of people when you start helping them do party plans at their own homes. They're going to be able to invite a whole flurry of people, which is what you're looking for. The more, the merrier. This is about efficiency, people, effectiveness and efficiency in doing this business. What the recommendation is through the materials I read was that through your first 20 shows, you want to make sure that you cover every category of acquaintance to support a solid business down the road. In other words, you want to make sure that, you know, maybe one of your parties is friends, another party is family, another is schools, another is work, another organizations, another one's neighbors. There's six categories there. You want to make sure that you cover every single one of them. Can you mix these people at one plan? Of course you can mix them at one party. That's a fun thing to do. But you just want to make sure that you're hitting every single one of those categories. Every one of them needs to be hit. So when you're developing your party plan ideas and how you're going to invite and who you're going to invite, you want to make sure these categories are outlined very clearly for you. And the important thing is what they drew an analogy of between your business and a tree. If you have a business, if you have a tree out there and you build your entire business around people at your school, you're going to be very limited, and that tree could easily collapse because it doesn't have the breadth of roots that it needs. So look at these six categories as a breadth of roots that your tree needs, which is your business, analogy of your business being a tree. And only to build a strong and viable business, you need roots in each one of these different areas. So you want support from all those different roots, not just one or not just two, but all of them. And then the seventh category is one that we haven't talked about yet, and that one is called strangers, because we can get involved in that you want business bookings from strangers. You want to be able to build a business. You want to be able to do party plans with strangers, because strangers are going to be absolutely crucial for the future growth of your business. You must add strangers to your client base on a regular basis in order to build a strong and solid business. And that's true about you and I today, whether you did party plans or not. Every day of my life, I'm looking out to find new people that I don't know yet. Now, I don't like to call them strangers. That's language that came out of a lot of the materials that I read. But the idea is, it's not, you know, I don't look at strangers. I say they're just friends I haven't met yet. And that's really how I look at it. And I did a lot more of that this weekend. And it was just a blessing. Because when you go out there and you take that attitude, this is a friend I just haven't met yet, it's amazing how the focus becomes on the friend. Because you already know your stuff, so you just focus on others. And that's our whole purpose here, is to really focus on others. So go out there and meet those friends that you've just not met as of yet, and get to know them. All those new friends are out there just waiting to hear from you. The other aspect is that some people try to build their business just about friends and family, around friends they have today and family, and that's not going to work. I mean, you could get lucky. I don't want to say that no one has ever made that work, because there probably is somebody out there that got lucky, that all they needed was their current, you know, knowledge base of people, and that's what built their business. But if I look at my business today, every single one of my business builders in my business today, and this has been true for years, none of them were my friends before I started Manitech. Isn't that amazing? None. They're all people who I met by doing Manitech, by going out and introducing myself and getting to know people, every single one of them. So does that tell you something about my prior friendships I had? No, it just says that a lot of this, you're going to, you know, I never was in network marketing before. I never had any people that I really considered dear friends of mine that were. So it was easier for me to find people interested in network marketing from people that had some kind of relationship with it somewhere in their past, or some of the new people that did get on board that they understand the ups and downs of network marketing, so they don't abandon ship just because there's a little blip in the system. So the idea here is that strangers are crucial for your business. For me, they've been incredibly critical because they're the people that actually drove my business to where it is today. The guy gave us some ideas. In the article, there were some ideas that were given on terms of lead generations for you. One of them was fishbowl drawings. And these aren't, there's nothing new here, people. It just might trigger some idea in your head that whether it's a hairdresser, wherever it is, a hairdresser, gym, bank, wherever you might want to do, any business offering, a restaurant, a lot of them have fishbowl offerings. You can see if you can put yours down there as at any of those locations, request and see what they say. The worst they can do is say no, right? And what's wrong with that? Who cares? Next, go to the next one. But the neat thing you want to do is to ask people to put their cards in so you can give them a free product or something that matches with Manatech. You don't want to give them a free, you could offer a free demonstration, but most people look at that as, oh, boy, that's crazy. Why should I pay anything? Because it's a free demonstration. I'll just wait for her to come back around in 6 months from now to give the demonstration again. Or if it's that hot a product, I'll wait till somebody else picks it up, right? So you want to make sure that you are, you know, in the face of people and you're getting your word out, you're getting your cards out, you're getting into the gym, the banks, the businesses to make sure that your cards are out there and you're collecting and your information's out there, you're giving people something free so that it attracts them to put their business cards in your fishbowl so that you're collecting information, you're collecting data. And this is true, the second category is true all the time, and we've been doing this for years, is go to fairs and expos with a booth, set up a booth at a fair and expo and meet lots of people. And your whole purpose there is to what? Collect information. It's not, you're not going to sign people up right on the spot, and you're not looking for that. If that's what you're looking for, you're going to be gravely disappointed. You're looking for a collection of contacts. You're networking to find contacts and to open the possibility of people being interested in what you have to offer. So look at it for what it is, and you'll get a lot of experience. The neat thing about fairs and expos that I like with my new people is that it gives them a lot of experience talking about the products, and they learn more and more about how to deal with people that are what? Friends they haven't met yet, right? Those, that word stranger. Exactly. It gets, helps people break down some of their internal inadequacies or insecurities about meeting new people. Our world is about going out there and meeting new people and talking to new people, and that's what we want to do. And fairs and expos give you a great opportunity to do that. I know there's some downlines out there. I know Susan and Dwight Havener did a great job. They did tons of expos and fairs. They had booths. I mean, it's just I love doing them. Every once in a while, I see one coming into Dallas, and I go, Lydia, let's go do this or something, and because it's just fun. It's fun to get out in the mix. I love the mill of just being around new people that I've never met before. And if you don't have that sense about you, I want to try to suggest get that sense about you. And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, some of those are expensive to attend. They're like $500. Well, then get a group of people to do it with you. There's nothing more fun than doing things with other people first, right? I mean, find some people you enjoy being around and say, let's do this together, and then split the cost. Because some of those fairs, they go like 2 or 3 days, or they're a full day, and you don't want to be on your feet from 8 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. So, you know, have shifts. So you have multiple shifts of people in and out of the booths. I remember we did one in Fort Worth, and we had 4 different downlines involved. I should say cross lines from each other involved in managing the booth. And we just took different turns where we took over the booth for a couple hours, then somebody else would come over and take. It was a blast to work together, and it was very cost-effective for all of us to participate in that. You don't have to have the whole thing. And you know what? When people look at me and go, oh, but when's the best time? Oh, what if the best people come during? I just look at them like, when are you going to get out of scarcity mentality? Just stop it. This world's full of hundreds of thousands, millions of people. There isn't a best time. There isn't a best person. Everybody is a best person. So start acknowledging people that way instead of doing what you're doing, and maybe you can get rid of some of the judgment, and you're going to be more effective at getting people involved in the business or at least on the products. changing their lives. So fairs and expos are terrific. I haven't done a fair or expo since Give for Real has come out, and I'm excited about doing that as a presentation piece. So I'm still looking forward to some more materials coming out from Manatech, but I'm excited about doing that. I think that kind of booth will attract tons of people, right? I mean, it's mission, fellowship and mission-oriented, and that's what you want. Go to vendor events. Go as a guest. So when vendors have vendor fairs and things like that, you want to go as a guest. And that's why do you want to go as a guest? You don't have to have a booth. In fact, a lot of these fairs, people don't even get a booth. I have a lot of Manatechers that in my organization that just walked fairs. They would just go and walk them because it was fun to just meet people. And a lot of the people that you're interested in are other vendors at that, yeah, that are, have their own booths, right? In fact, a lot of times when you go and you have your own booth, some of the best people you find to get signed up and started in Manatech are the ones that are womaning other booths in that same fair. So you go to the vendor events and you go meet with the people and you talk to them. You network with the vendors. So you're not just looking at the people that are showing up because they're coming for a specific person to meet with people. You can interact with them and enjoy them, but your number one key target are going to be the vendors at that vendor fair. So you meet with all of them and you ask them questions like, oh, is this a good event? How have you done here? I was thinking about setting up here next year. And the natural conclusion these people are going to do, they're going to start asking you, well, what kind of business are you in, right? Bingo, there it is, as Dwight Havener would say. Absolutely. You want to generate that so you can immediately respond. Now, some of you need to work on how you respond to that. Have it down pat so you don't sound silly when they ask you what kind of business are you in. You want to be very clear. You want to go, wow, that's, you know what I do? I'm a social entrepreneur. Have you heard of that? And you can start generating conversation around that. But if that's what you want to do, or you can say, oh, I'm in the health industry. I have a tremendous line of real food technology products that are making differences in people's lives all over the world. You know, it's such a blessing to be able to help people stay healthy. And prevention is really the best way to solve our healthcare crisis, don't you think? I mean, you have a lot of comments that you can say to generate conversation with people about whatever you choose. But you got to make your choice and you have to be clear about it. If you go there and you start and they say, well, what kind of business are you in? And you go, well, I'm in this business that kind of skin care. Well, really, it's weight loss. No, we do nutrition, and it's nutrition-based weight loss and skin care. And then we also do this program called Give for Real. The poor person who asked the question is going to look at you and think, they're very confused. You're going to lose credibility right out of the box. So have tremendous clarity about how you're going to respond to that question. Okay, so that's vendor events. They're terrific to go to. Become a public speaker, another great way of getting tons of leads. People are dying out there to get public speakers. People would love to hear. The minute I start talking to people about how to do grocery shopping, I got tons of people asking me questions about what I do. Could I get there? Mary Jo, could I get your talk? Or could you come to a talk at our church? Or could you come to a talk at my school? Or could you come to the daycare? I mean, but you got to get yourself out there, you know, as a speaker, become a public speaker, and then there are tons of clubs out there that are always looking for volunteer speakers because they want to make sure that their events are what? Highly sought after, people are excited about showing up, and you have a lot of information that you can share about that. So, and then finally, another one would be, these are just ideas, you guys have heard them before, but no, I say there's never a time that we can't get, you know, refreshed to get us moving again. Offer fundraiser events. That's a neat thing. You can multitask when you're calling these clubs, and you can offer to do fundraising events for them, or support them in their fundraising events. Those are incredibly critical. So when you help them in their fundraising needs, and you have a way to do that through Manatech. So there's two things you can do. You can either show up and help them with their fundraising needs and meet more people, and that gives you a whole nother breath. Or number two, you can help them with their fundraising needs by showing them how Manatech works to their advantage. And it's the win-win-win Give for Real program. You know, the foundation wins, the club wins because they make money. Number two, their people win because they get healthy and they make money and they get to be part of something greater than them. And number three, of course, all of those children around the world will be helped through the Give for Real program by donation, by consumption process. So win-win-win, it's fun to talk about that and help them with their fundraising efforts regarding that. So people, it's just a question I put at the end, it's just how far are we willing to get, to go? At what length are you willing to go to get your bookings? At what length are you willing to go to make a difference in people's lives, to go out there and reach out and touch lives? And it really is about you. It's not about anyone but you and your choice to do something different, make a difference out there, meet with new people, stretch yourself a little bit, and do something, a change. And as I said earlier, I think that the concept of doing Give for Real home parties is a great, great idea, because I think you'll attract tons of people to come, because people at the core of their beingness want to be part of a mission. It's our number one motivation. So you want to draft it in a mission orientation way. You know, you can say, how do you want, would you like to be on a mission without traveling? How would you like to participate in a tremendous mission without traveling anywhere? Just come to my house. Or the shortest mission trip of your life, come to my house. You know, you can even make cute things that you can do with your flyers, that they can become a part of this great mission with you. Okay, people, that's all I have today. Anyone have any questions? Are these ideas good for you guys? Are they new? Are you looking at doing something different? Did it help at all?
Mary Jo?
Yes.
Yes, I tell you what, you hit a hot spot here for me about being a public speaker, going to a library and see if what groups they might have to suggest I could contact. Is that what you're saying?
Perfect. Absolutely. 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 And you can even go and speak at the libraries. A lot of libraries have their own events, speaking events. So you could go there and say, hey, I'd like to come speak at, you know, XYZ or ABC, whatever it is. Follow me? So, because they like to have, a lot of libraries like to have their own public speakers as well. But you have a flood of different clubs and organizations that are available through the library system, and as well as speaking at the library and at the same time. So both. But yeah, great, great, Fred. And you know, there's places in every single newspaper has, like, you know, events going on around the community, and you can go there to find other names of organizations and places where you can you could start speaking and get ideas from that as well. Yeah.
How's that again? One more time on that part.
In the newspaper. Every single community has a newspaper, like Arlington, Granford, our areas, they have a section in there of all the week what the events are for the week, or even for the month. Sometimes they publish them on a monthly basis, and you can look at that. Like our Dallas Morning News has a big section that just talks about, you know, what activities are going on this week in Dallas. And they'll have little, you know, different speakers that are coming in town and events that are published there. It's a public interest section, so it doesn't cost money to put your information in it. And you can go there and search in there to find different groups that are holding meetings and doing special things, and that's another way of networking. To contact them and say, you know what, I'd love to speak to your group. What does it take? This is what I speak on. You know, here's the different categories. And they'll go, yeah, well, we like these two, Kat. Can you speak on these? Yeah, absolutely. And you can show up to speak on those. Great. Hmm?
Would it be possible, Mary Jo, would this be a good idea, if you and Lydia developed a little trifold brochure about Give for Real and how this could be tied in with the speaking and everything to kind of...
I think it's a great idea, except I'm waiting for Manatech to do it, but that could be you're saying, Mary Jo, that could be 6 months from now, or we can develop a... I think that's a great idea. Let me talk to Lydia about that. We'll see what's on our agenda and see if we can't, because she does a great job, and we've got some graphics people outside that do a great job with that, too. But, yeah, it's a little trifold, because I think that's a... I think you're hitting on the same... area I am, Fred, which is the idea of mission and fellowship. And I think that, you know, doing this as a mission project and going out and getting people involved as a mission, I think that's a huge concept. And you want to have trifolds to hand out. Yeah, go ahead.
And maybe have the word social entrepreneurship somewhere in there, too.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Kick off on that as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because
that can be a little... That can be a little more intimidating to some people, but it works. I mean, when you define social entrepreneurship for people, you really need them to understand what it is, so they don't feel like they're getting in over their head. You want to, because some people will be afraid of that because they feel like somehow that's a real big commitment that they're making, when it's really not at all. So social entrepreneurship sounds it can be a little more intimidating for people. It doesn't intimidate me. It's exciting as all get out. But other, you know, you got to remember who you're addressing out there.
Yeah.
And so you want to, if you use it, you just got to make sure to define it. And definitionally, you want to make it sound like something that's very, very attractive for people to be involved in, not something that they're going to have to spend 24/7 the next 6 months working on, right? Yeah.
Well, whatever you and Lydia come up with, I'm sure it'll be,
okay,
really, really great.
Right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Uh-huh.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is Mary Jo in St. Louis. How are you today,
everybody? Mary Jo to Mary Jo. How are you?
It's been a long time since I was able to be on a call, so I was looking forward to this one. Talking about social entrepreneur, you were saying how that may be a little intimidating. I learned a term a few months ago, and the term personal franchise or micro-personal franchise is another way to identify yourself as a business builder.
Okay. The word franchise is another one of those words, though. It's a little tricky. Some people, when they think of franchise, they think they got to come up with a bunch of money. You follow me?
Well, that's why they use micro personal franchise,
It opens up
a whole new questioning process.
Yeah, there you go. That's better. Thanks. That's good. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying that when a lot of times we come up with ideas and concepts, and we need to think through what is an average person, how might they respond, and try to meet those potential shortcomings in advance of all the marketing that we do. Because I've been one, and I only tell you this based on my own experience. I've always been one where I come up with all these ideas, and I just like go, you know, I just run with them like the wind. And a lot of, I haven't had the sensitivity that I have today in the past around how is this going to be viewed. Maybe I ought to test market it. Maybe I ought to present it to 10 people and see how they respond. Maybe there might be a better way of phrasing it that would be make it more highly, highly acceptable to people and highly desirable by people. And that's what that's what I'm looking for. You want the highest and best possible result for the work that you put into it. So test marketing and doing some of that, getting some feedback is a great way to do that. Yeah.
Thanks.
You bet.
Mary Jo, this is Rebecca.
Uh-huh. Hi, Rebecca.
This is really good. This talk was really good this morning because I'm doing a fair in June, it's July, I think, the first part of July. It's one I do every year out here, and I always get good contacts. Last year I did a little bit with Give for Real, and it was really people were really receptive to it. And then another thing I thought of when you were saying, giving talks and stuff, I think 9 years ago when I found out about Manitech, I went to a health food store just to learn about coconut oil, and then I ended up talking to somebody else, asking them about, you know, what I needed, and they led me to Manitech. So it was that one of those things. So, and then the other thing I was going to say, I was at Walmart this morning, and I don't know if they do that at all the Walmarts, but they said, would you, when you just put your card through, then they ask you, do you want to donate to these children, you know? And I thought, this is just what we're doing.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so, it's not quite the same what we're doing. Here's the distinction.
Yeah, right.
They're asking you to make a separate donation. So it's not through buy their products, you automatically donate, which is a distinction we want to make sure we draw. It's what makes us the social entrepreneurs that we are. I don't call Walmart a social entrepreneurship. I just say they've chosen a charity that they want to support company-wide, and you have an opportunity every time you check out to make an independent donation to that charity. Correct. But it's neat because at least you can see the heart there of people taking on social causes. Right.
Right. That's what I was saying. That's what we need to emphasize, because obviously there are people that are wanting to give or they wouldn't even put that there.
Absolutely. Well, and it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And it's the easiest time to get people to give because they already whipped their credit card out to pay for something. So trust me, this has all been done. They've studied this. They understand that it's easier to get a dollar from somebody when they're paying $25 at Walmart already. One more dollar, what's that? You know, people just go, yeah, sure, no problem. It's so they understand. But to get somebody to write a check independent wouldn't happen. So it's their way of collecting a little bit from a lot of people, and that's neat. Yep. Great. Great thoughts, great processes. You guys are doing great. I love hearing from you. I love what's going on out in the industry. So,
yeah, Mary Jo.
Okay. Yeah, Fred, one more. Yep.
Okay, I want to clarify again to make sure I got it straight. On Sam working on this deal for penetrating nonprofit organizations, If he gets that together, that could get rolled out before Manifest. Is that right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think that's definitely going to be out before ManaQuest. That
okay.
is not what ManaQuest is all about is going to be more about the new products that we have. But what Sam's doing, the whole goal was try to knock it out. We were trying to knock it out by May, and I don't know if that's still feasible. But we're having conference calls on it now, and you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't think he's really focused big time on it. As you can see, even seeing what he's doing with Deb Jones and this one, How to Do Well by Doing Good, I mean, he's coming up with his languaging. Everything's starting to fall into place in terms of his approach. So, yeah.
Good.
We'll see. We'll definitely see that, I believe, by the end of this month. Yep.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I am, too.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, people, love you all. Be safe and have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Okay, everybody. And, by the way, Lydia wanted me to announce one more thing. What's the name of that book? Quantum.
Do You Quantum Think?
Yeah, Do You Quantum Think? That's my book I'm going to be reviewing at the end of this month. So if you haven't heard about it, we're going to have Marianne Culhane is actually going to be on our call, I think, next Monday morning. She wanted to not to take over the whole call, still do a training, but she's just going to be a special guest for a few minutes to talk about it. So anyway, but that just for those of you who might want to get prepared for it, that's the book I'm going to review at the end of May. Okay, and I'll send a little email out in regards to that as well. Thanks, Fred, for the name. I bought the book. I have it, but I haven't started reading it yet. It's downstairs. So, okay, everybody. Love you all.